Do you ever just miss the gold standard? It's Home Economics on 95BFM with Rupert Carline of Coda Wealth.
Morena, Rupert, how are you?
Morena, very well, thank you.
That is good to hear. Hope you and your bubble are getting on well. We've had some questions about money to put to you. Is that cool?
That is awesome.
Awesome. Okay, well, the first one we've got here is, what is a negative OCR? Why do countries have OCRs? And does it ultimately mean local banks will charge me as opposed to paying me interest for keeping savings with them? I would like to add to this question, what is an OCR?
So the OCR stands for the overnight cash rate. And this is the rate that the bank, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, will lend to the banks overnight. So if you've got, so typically, if a bank holds excess cash, then they can put that with the Reserve Bank and earn a little bit of money for that excess cash, not materially different to the current accounts that we use with our own banks. And so a negative OCR, what that means is that the banks, rather than being paid to park cash overnight with the Reserve Bank, they will actually have to pay the Reserve Bank. So rather than, it kind of turns everything negative, turns everything around on its head.
Okay.
And the reason they do that is to encourage banks to lend as much as they can, because if all of a sudden it's costing the banks to hold extra cash, then what that generally does is that encourages them to lend that money out and gets more money circulating through the economy as quickly as they can, because that's the way we drive growth.
Right. So
does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. So this person's question, and does it ultimately mean local banks will charge me as opposed to paying me interest for keeping savings with them? Is that true?
So theoretically, that's a possibility. However, what we've seen internationally is that's very, very unlikely, because that's just a PR nightmare for the banks.
Okay.
So therefore, they'll basically, I think, under this scenario, deposit rates go to zero, but it's extremely unlikely that they then turn negative.
Well, we've got another question here. It's from a student who says, I'm an overdraft. I'm really nervous about getting out of it and I want to pay it off as soon as possible. What are your best budgeting tips?
So the best budgeting tips are, make a plan. So if you sit down and work through your monthly expenses, then you at least know what you're spending, you know where you're spending it,
mm-hmm.
and then it allows you to then think through and go, do I really need to spend it here? Do I really need to spend it there? So creating a plan is always, and understanding where you spend your money is the first and most important step. The other one, which often surprises people, and I get this is slightly harder for a student in a flatting situation, but is people are shocked at how much money they can save just by having a look at your household expenses.
Mm.
For example, broadband. You go look to change broadband provider. Your new provider will give you 3 to 6 months free if you kind of look hard for it. That's potentially saving you $500 or $600.
That's pretty good to know.
You can then go and do things like electricity. The average saving for when you switch electricity provider is $400. You go to insurance, you've got another $400 or $500. And so a lot of these little things, by just reviewing your daily expenses and reviewing some of your household bills, that actually can create some huge savings for you. And then you don't even need to adjust anything in your lifestyle. So I mean,
that's a hot tip.
That's kind of one, which that's one of my favorite ones, right? Where you go 2 hours on the internet at night, potentially can save you $1,000 a year, and doesn't impact anything else.
And if you are living in a flat, probably a good flat meeting. You could all sit down and do it together.
Sounds
not very rock and roll, but does sound worthwhile. Somebody else has said, I'm 45, I don't have a KiwiSaver. Is it worth getting one now, or should I just get a high interest savings account, and what is the difference?
Definitely worth starting KiwiSaver now. So the big difference between a KiwiSaver account and a high interest savings. So high interest savings is likely to earn you 1-2% max, if that. And if OCR goes negative, then fundamentally that's likely to get even lower. Whereas a KiwiSaver account, that's invested across a number of different asset classes, including
It's all right. It's a Monday
cash,
morning.
Exactly. Including cash, fixed income, and equities and bonds, equities and shares. And so generally what you would expect is your KiwiSaver will earn a much higher rate of return because of the different asset exposures than cash, particularly if you're 45.
Right.
And the other big reason to do KiwiSaver is then you get the free money. So we've talked a bit on this about free money. You're going to get money from the government. So if you put in your $1,042, the government will give you $521 to match it. Plus your employer is likely to match you by 3%. So not only are you going to get a much higher return on the money that you've invested, but you're also going to get access to a whole lot of other free money as well.
Somebody, there's a very good point. Somebody has also said, in very much the vein of KiwiSaver, they signed up to the one their parents signed them onto and they don't know how to change it. How do you go about doing that?
So it's really, really easy. All you've got to do is pick your new provider, and all providers have got websites. Go and complete the online application form, and then your new provider will deal with the transfer. So if you don't know where you currently are, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is figure out where you want to be, who you want your new provider to be, sign up, and then they'll deal with everything in the background. It's a really, really simple process.
Straightforward. Very last question we've got for you this morning, Rupert, is someone who wants to buy a new car this year, but some people have said to them it's not a good time to make a big purchase. Should they be holding off?
I think it depends on what you're using to fund that new car and how safe and secure your finances are. I think we, and again, similar to a number of the answers we've given over the last couple of months, but they are right to be nervous right now. There is a likely to be an increase in unemployment. And so I think just make sure, take extra care to make sure you can afford it right now. Thinking through what happens if I lose my job, what happens if I need to take a pay cut, what happens if I have an emergency spending or health issue or something else. Just be really careful that you haven't gone and spent up to your absolute max on this new car, because given the economic climate we're about to go into, there's a high chance that something might go wrong. You just need to make sure you've got enough headroom to support yourself when that thing does go wrong.
Very sage advice there. Well, thank you very much, Rupert. We'll talk to you again next week. I hope you have a good one.
Thank you very much. Have a good week too.
See ya.
Bye.
That's Money, Home Economics on 95 BFM.